All right, so I feel like I could have easily preached off of that second song that Josh did. I feel like the Lord was just confirming to me some of the things I was felt like he was telling me this morning. And if you don't know it, we've been doing a healing series. I love healing is one of my, I think it's just such a critical part of the Gospels, a critical part of the kingdom. And it's something that I think the church has gotten wrong in a lot of ways, in general. Satan knows that. We've been talking about that, how every place that Jesus went out to do ministry, he demonstrated healing, signs, wonders. He told his disciples to do the same things. This is our, I think, our fourth week talking about healing. I'm not going to go back and cover everything that we've shared, so I encourage you to check out our podcast, all the teachings on the podcast. We really have been building, so some of this may not... You kind of do really need the foundation that we've been laying in order to really get an understanding of what I feel like the Lord's trying to lay in our hearts for this thing. But healing is key to the heart of God. And we've been having some more healing. Since we've been talking about healing, we've had more healings happening. You ever notice how you start talking about certain things and all of a sudden they start happening? It's like when you want to go buy a Jeep and all of a sudden all you see is Jeeps, or you want to go buy a truck and all you see is trucks. There's just this thing that when you start talking about different aspects of the kingdom, I think it just starts to begin to take place. You're shedding light on things. And so we're talking about healing. We're going after healing. We believe God wants this place to be a healing hub. We believe that we feel like the Lord's shown us that this is a prophetic church that's supposed to be a healing hub so that people can come in here and not leave the same. Now, I'm not claiming that we're there yet. I'm just saying this is where we're going. We don't have to be there to realize that that's some land that God wants us to take. You know, when you see a promised land, I've said this almost every message. When you see the promised land, that doesn't mean you obtain the promised land. It means that you've seen it. Then you have to go in and fight for the promised land. Well, I'm trying to lay out what I believe the Lord is saying is a promised land for us, but we have to go in and fight for it. By the way, the AC's down. It won't be fixed tomorrow. A part broke. And, so sweat rings are okay today. I apologize. But as I told Zach this morning, as we were talking about it, there's a lot of churches in Kenya that don't have it this nice. So we'll be okay. All right, so I'm going to detour a little bit. Not much. Well, a little bit. We've covered the foundations of healing. We've covered that it's all through the scripture that God's very clear. The Bible's very clear that it's God's heart to heal. It's his heart. He loves it. It's in his heart. It's what Jesus did. We've talked about how it's a clash of two kingdoms. You know, none of the disciples or Jesus in all the gospel or Acts asked God to heal people. They didn't. You can't find that in there. He told them to minister healing. They went out and they healed the sick. They spoke to sickness and commanded it to go. They released something from the kingdom of God. They were walking in the authority that Jesus had accomplished at the cross. He said, all authority in heaven and earth is mine. Go ye therefore. And they went out and they performed healing. So if you're trying to heal somebody by asking God to heal them and you're watching to see if something's happening, you're going to get frustrated. That's not the way faith operates. And so we have to realize it's a clash of two kingdoms. Sickness is demonic. We're going after it and we're commanding the kingdom of God to come and to cast out the darkness, which is sickness. Now, that may sound new to some of you. If it does, that's okay. Go back and listen to the podcast, the second one on healing. It covers this whole subject. It gives you scriptural reference for it all, and it really is a powerful concept. When I really got that on board, I started doing that, stopped asking God to heal people and started commanding healing to come, and what I started seeing happening was people started getting healed. I saw more healing when I changed the way I was doing than I ever did before. God's the same. So if what we're doing is not working, maybe we should look at what we're doing. Let's get back to the way the Bible did it. And just, it might work. I believe it will work. So we talked about that. We talked about how the kingdom, healing, signs and wonders are actually evidence that the kingdom is here. That was last week's message. This week, I wanted to prep us for what we're going to talk about in weeks ahead. I want to really look at faith. And the role that faith plays in healing, I feel like today's message may be liberating for a lot of people, because I think faith in a lot of ways has been misunderstood, and it's intimidating, right? How many ever felt intimidated when you start talking about faith? I understand that. I get it. It's a real thing that happens, and I want to tell you why it happens, and I want to talk about what faith actually is and what it's actually not. But then I want to deal with something that I think is going to help us, and then we can start diving deeper into faith without all the things that usually get us messed up to where we start thinking about something else as someone talks about faith, and we're really not catching what God's trying to lay down. So anyway, does that sound good? Good, because that's what I'm going to do anyway. All right, so faith in Scripture. Actually, I did a message a number of months ago on faith. It's really, you know, a lot of the stuff I would share about faith is in that message. There's three pillars in the kingdom, really. Faith, hope, and love. Greatest of these is love. But how many know that the Scripture says that Galatians 5:6 says that faith works through love. Faith actually works through love. Well, how does that work? Well, this is how I think it works. When you understand, you know what Josh was singing about? Perfect love cast out fear. When you see the love of God, you begin to realize who He is. The veils begin to come off your mind. You begin to understand how good God is. And then all of a sudden, the fear and the doubt starts to melt away because you're beginning to understand who your Father is and how He feels about you. And once you realize, you know why my kids come to me and ask for me for stuff that they probably shouldn't? Because they know I love them. They're safe. Now, they may get a no. They come with me with some outlandish requests sometimes. But they can do that because they know my heart. They know I love them. They're sure. They're confident. They're not coming to me wondering if, is He going to receive me today? How is my standing with my Father? See, we're still dealing with that. We're still dealing so much with all of how we're still dealing with how are we standing with God? And if we're being honest, if we're really being honest, all of us are still dealing with that to some degree, okay? All of us. And so we're in process of getting free from that. Now, I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. Faith is the currency of the kingdom of God. It's how you access everything in the kingdom. How do you get born again? For by grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, right? Faith is the thing that opens the door to salvation. Faith accesses what Jesus already did at the cross. Your sins aren't forgiven you at the moment you believe in Jesus. You just access what was done for you 2,000 years ago. When you get born again, Jesus didn't just die for you. What He did was accomplished 2,000 years ago. But what's happening is you're accessing the completed work of Christ when you believe. What's true for salvation is also true for healing. It's the same thing. We're going to talk about that in the atonement, that healing's actually in the atonement. You look at Isaiah 53, and we're going to look through this in the weeks to come. You look at Isaiah 53, it goes back and forth between forgiving your sins and healing your diseases. All the way through the thing, it's dealing with forgiveness of sins and healing. Psalms 103, forget not none of His benefits. He forgives all my iniquities. He heals all of my diseases. You know, there's just an intertwine. That's why Jesus, when He answered the Pharisees after He told the paralytic, He said, you know, he came for healing, and He says, your sins are forgiven you. And they were offended at Him, right? And He says, what's more difficult, to forgive sins or to heal the sick? But that you might know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins. Take up your pallet and walk. That is the sign that our sins are forgiven. The same authority, and He actually said it's easier to heal than it is to forgive. That's what Jesus said. And we talked about that last week. Faith is the currency. You see in Hebrews 11:2 that all the men, in Hebrews 11:2, it says let's look at it. We'll spend some time in Hebrews. If you want to turn over to Hebrews, you can. You don't have to. I'm going to read it. Hebrews 11:2 talks about, Hebrews 11 talks about faith. Hebrews 11:2 shows that for by it men of old gain approval, right? But if you look at that in the Greek, it's obtained a testimony. By faith, they obtained the promises. By faith, they obtained a testimony. You look over in Hebrews 11, let's see, verse 33, talking about all these men of God, Or 32, it says, and what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Japheth, of David, of Samuel, and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouth of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, not accepting their release in order that they might obtain a better resurrection. You go through everything these guys accomplished, they accessed it by faith. Healings by faith. Receiving the baptisms of the Holy Spirit is by faith. The scripture says, without faith, Hebrews 11:6, it is impossible to please him. For those that come to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder. That's the key part. A lot of people believe there's a God, but do you believe he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him? When we seek him, we're going to find him. That's why Jesus said, if you continually seek, you shall find. If you continually ask, you shall receive. If you continually seek, you shall find. If you continually knock, the door shall be open. He didn't say it might. He said it shall be. So we have to understand these things. But what inevitably happens is that when you start talking about faith, we get intimidated. And I'm going to tell you what's happened in a large portion of the church. And y'all might not like this. It may offend you. Some of you will probably clap. Some of you will be scowling. When people started preaching faith, it intimidates people, it scares them, and so they throw it out and they give you excuses in their mind that they've come up with that somehow were faith, you know, that they don't have to reach out and experience this stuff. It takes away the excuses because they're afraid to step out. What I feel like the Lord wants to give us today is going to set us free from that. It'll at least open the door for the process to begin. And I'm sure it's already happening. That's what the Lord was doing to me right there as I'm sitting there and I'm just loving on God. He was dealing with my fear. So here's the deal. There's a thing that, well, one, when you start having people talk about exploits, believing God, stepping out in faith, they feel like they don't have faith, for one. They don't have this great faith. The scripture says we've all been given a measure of faith. So that's not true. You have faith. You couldn't even be a Christian if you didn't have faith. You got born again by faith. What it means, though, is that whatever area that you're being intimidated by, it means that you haven't exercised your faith in that area yet. And this is probably why. Well, that brings pressure. You ever felt pressure? I used to feel pressure. I used to feel pressure at Morningstar back at home. They'd have these students going out and doing these faith courses, and they come back with all these incredible things, and I felt pressure to perform. You ever felt that? Pressure to have to measure up somehow, put a notch on my belt so I can be. And what I didn't understand was that's works. It's not that what they're doing is works. It's that the way I was believing was works. I was trying to do in order to obtain. Rather than having obtained, now I can do. There's a big difference. You get the cart before the horse, you'll have problems. But if you get it in right order, it lines up. So I had to become confident in who I am in Christ, his love for me, and I'm not doing anything to make me feel good about myself. If I'm doing a miracle or trying to do a miracle or trying to prophesy or doing anything like that to try to make myself feel better about myself, then I'm doing it for selfish reasons. And we all do that or have done that. We're trying to do a work in order to obtain acceptance, favor, value, right? That's illegal. That's an affront to the cross. What was he saying? I am a child of God. I don't do something to become a child. I'm a child because he did something, right? He did something. And so now my faith is in him. And out of that place, I can go and do things because I'm not trying to do them anymore. It's a result. An apple tree don't strain to produce apples. It's relaxed. It's rooted and grounded in the ground, and what God made it to be, it is. What happens is the pressure comes, and we start getting all uptight, and what's happened, and this is really what I want to get to. All of this, everything I'm talking about, this frustration, this anxiety, this tension, that's all a result of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When Adam sinned, the very first thing that happened when he ate the knowledge, it's not the tree of evil, it's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He looked at himself. He wasn't naked at all in the garden. You look, they're running around free as a jaybird. They're naked. They're running around and they don't even know it. They had what I call a God focus. They were not focused on themselves, but at the moment that they ate that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they looked at their own nakedness, and the scripture says they felt fear. They were afraid, and they went and they hid themselves. And then the scripture says that they sowed fig leaves to cover themselves. You know, most of us, all of us really, to some degree or another, are running around with fig leaves on us trying to cover up our imperfections. We don't want people to see us as we really are. And so we put on fig leaves. And you wonder why Jesus cursed the fig tree. He cursed that thing. And he took that curse upon him. Those fig leaves where we're trying to cover up who we are. And that's not something that God wants us to do. He wants us to be so lost in his love, so secure in his love, that we get back to that place where we're not eating that fruit. See, every day we have the opportunity to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And here's how you know if you're eating from this tree. You know how to know? What is it? What is the fruit of the tree? It causes you to look at yourself. You come in here to do worship, and all of a sudden you're focused on yourself. You're so, I mean, I lead worship. Most of you know that. That is like the worst problem I deal with when I'm trying to lead worship. Worship leaders are trying to get the focus on God, on Jesus. We're trying to, and the enemy's constantly getting my focus on me. Same thing with preaching, or same thing with everything. And so what happens is when we raise the message of faith, we turn inward and we start looking at ourselves and we feel like we're inadequate. We feel like I don't have this. This is too big for me. And so rather than pressing beyond that, we turn inward and we run and we hide from it and we don't pursue it. I understand. I'm guilty of all this. But the Lord's wanting to set us free from this type of fear so that we can gain our God consciousness back. When you get your God consciousness back, when the Lord says, hey, I want you to go do this, and you're not thinking about you at all, you're not turning inward to be afraid about, oh, what am I going to do? I've dealt with that. I deal with that all the time. And I've been asking the Lord, Lord, help me. And I'm beginning to recognize as soon as I'm turning inward and seeing myself and wondering how something's going to affect me, I realize I'm eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so I'm saying, okay, what's the remedy? I need to look to the tree of life. I need to look to Jesus and begin to put my eyes on him, because when I see him as he is, my eyes can't be on me. You can't see Jesus and see yourself at the same time. You got to see him. Let's talk about this. Let's look at some scriptures. Hebrews 12:2 says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. Okay, that's half the verse. There's a call that God has for us in the areas of faith. And as we're digging, this applies to everything. This is not just healing. But I want to get this right so that we can dive into faith and healing. When we're experiencing this insecurity, we have to realize that that insecurity is a result of not having our eyes properly fixed on the author and perfecter of our faith. If we're looking at him, we're going to be changed. You know what our goal is in all this is to see him better. Why is that important? Well, 2 Corinthians 3:18 tells us. I love the verse before it. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit is, Lord is, there is freedom. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the, who? The glory of the Lord, are being transformed into that same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. You want to become a great healer and heal the sick? You know how you do it? You have to begin to see Jesus as the healer. You have to see him. Your eyes have to, the eyes, when I say see him, I'm not talking about physically, though I want that myself. I'm talking about where the eyes of your heart open up, and with the eyes of your heart, you can see Jesus, the healer. When we begin to see him as he is, we will be changed into that same image as from glory to glory, right? It says it right here. How are we changed? When we begin to, with unveiled face, nothing blocking our view, we're beholding as in the mirror the glory of the Lord. We're being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. When we're looking at him and we're seeing him, we become what we behold. That's just a true principle. We become what we behold. So the goal of all this is to behold him better. We got to see him. We want the veils removed so that we can see him. Jesus said, if you receive a prophet in the name of the prophet, you receive the prophet's reward. What happens if you have a prophet come to you and you don't receive him in the name of a prophet? You don't accept his, that dude ain't no prophet. He may, and you don't, so you don't want to receive anything he's got, right? What do you think will happen if you don't recognize Jesus the healer? What if you just see him as Jesus, the guy who forgives sins, but you don't see him as Jesus, the one who heals all your sins, who forgives all your iniquities, and he heals all of your diseases? What happens if in your heart you really don't see it? You may give mental assent to it in your mind because you know it might be right because, hey, the Bible kind of talks about Jesus healing. But in your heart, you're not beholding him as he is, Jesus the healer, the one who's same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. So what do you think happens if you don't receive him in that way? You don't receive the healing reward. If you don't receive someone as a prophet, you don't receive their prophetic words that God was going to release through them. That's why it's imperative that we begin to know one another after the Spirit. If we, they judged Jesus because they knew him after the flesh. He grew up in that town. They didn't want to receive from him because they recognized him according to the flesh. All of us got, we know each other after the flesh. Hey, you grew up with me. Hey, you saw my problems in high school. Hey, you may not be able to receive what God's trying to release through me, let's say, because you see me from a human perspective, but you're not seeing what the Spirit's trying to release through one another. And so we don't receive each other in the way that God has called us to receive one another because we don't see each other after the Spirit, but after the flesh. And so we've just missed an aspect of God that he was trying to release in our life because we're not receiving Jesus in each other. Does that make sense? We reject people and what Jesus is trying to release through them because we're not seeing them properly. Our pride and our different stupid opinions causes us to miss the very thing Jesus sent to give us because we can't receive it when it comes in from someone that we don't acknowledge, right? And it's the same thing with God. When we don't see him as he is, we don't receive that aspect of him. There's whole denominations that teach against healing today. Guess what? They don't see the sick healed on Sunday. And so what I'm trying to do is to help us to begin to, hey, we have got to behold Jesus the healer. This is not hard. All we have to do is just begin to see him as he is. When that veil comes off, and you start becoming willing in your heart to behold him, to look at him as he is, you'll be changed. You know why the disciples went out and healed the sick right after he left? Because they spent 3.5 years watching him heal the sick. The Pharisees even marked, you know, they said, man, who are these uneducated people? And they observed that they had been with Jesus. We have got to begin to allow the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil out. We've got to stop eating that fruit. And I'm here. I'm getting, since I've been in Wilmington, I've had the Lord dealing with this one thing greater than I ever have. And I realize that this one thing is the source of all my woes. I'm my own worst enemy because I turn and look at myself. God says, I want you to go up and talk to this person. Oh God, what are they going to think about me? Well, he wasn't talking about me. He was talking about her. I just turned inward. That's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Oh, I got to get out of that. I got to start looking at him, right? So when we're talking about faith, people feel intimidated because they feel like somehow they have to make this thing happen because in reality, they don't have faith in God in this area. So they think they got to do it. And so they go and they try to work at it. Oh, I got to strive and read enough Bible and just strive to strain out this faith so that I can have this faith. And so it becomes a whole works mentality. And so the works mentality that follows the faith movement has washed the whole thing out because people didn't understand what faith is. Let me tell you what faith really produces. Turn over to Hebrews 3. You cannot sweat your way into faith. And that's what we try to do. I'm going to try harder. Okay. All right. In the name of Jesus. And you're striving. You're trying to somehow say it hard or quote enough scripture or try to, you know, you're trying to do something to get an end result by your straining and your striving. But didn't we learn that there was a reason why the priests had to have garments that did not make them sweat? If we're really going to be a priest for the Lord, ministers, and we're all called to be, all of us, then we have to learn to stop sweating, stop striving, stop trying to make stuff happen. That's not how this stuff comes. This stuff comes by seeing with unveiled face Jesus as he is, Jesus the healer. And when we see that, we will become like that. It's that simple. Kind of. Problem is trying to get to see him like that. That we got to behold the Lord. So my prayer for me and for you, Lord, remove the veils. God, help. I know the veil's removed, but remove it over my mind and help me see you as you are. And help me to constantly recognize when I'm looking at myself and to turn my attention back towards you. Lord, help us. Even now, Lord, help us with this. Remove the veils, Lord, in our mind. Help us see you as you are, Lord. Oh, Jesus, help us see you as you are. Oh, Lord. Hebrews 3, let's start at verse 15. While it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as when they provoked me. He's talking about the children of Israel when they were coming through the desert right after they came out of Egypt. For who provoked him when they had heard? Indeed, did not all those came out of Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they should not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? And so we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. Okay, now I'm going to stop here and I'm going to pick back up here. But just for a second, let me just paint this picture. The children of Israel had come through the desert for 2 years and the Lord tried to take them into the promised land. The promised land was the place of rest. It was the place of rest. That's what it says right here. They could not enter his rest. The promised land, the places that we receive the promises, is the same place that we're called to have rest, but it's also the same place they had to war. Think about that a minute. The place of the greatest warfare was the place where they were called to have rest. Rest is your warfare. It's in quietness. And what does that say? Was it Isaiah 30, 15 or 15, 30? And repentance and rest is your salvation, and in quietness and trust is your strength. In repentance and rest is your salvation, and in quietness and trust is your strength. That's hard. Sometimes to be still and not do anything and trust that God's actually got this, it's much easier to run out and try to make something happen because we trust us. We can see our hands, we know. But God's trying to get us to the place where we actually trust him more than we trust us. And when we do that, we can sit down. He's got this. He's got this. That's where he's trying to get us to. So if you're wondering what's going on with the problems in your life, it's the opportunity. God's trying to get you to a place where you're resting in your problems and you're not striving trying to make them go away. That's his job. We're always trying to work. See, here's what happened. God puts us in the fire and we hate the heat. And so we immediately go to work to try to put out the fire. But the very thing that God's trying to do is to get us into the place that we're at peace in the flame. That's where the fourth man appeared in the book of Daniel, right? When the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they go into the fire, but that's where Jesus was formed. That's where Jesus appeared. It's in the flames where God's called us to be at rest. So your bills aren't getting paid and you're okay with it because you know he's got it. Now, I know you don't know how he has it, but you know he has it. I've been through that a little bit, you know? Hey, all your bills are due and you don't have a dime and your phone's blowing up. And you don't even answer your phone no more because you know. But you're relaxed. Now, the truth is you're not relaxed. The truth is you're sweating it out. But it's the opportunity to grow to where God wants to get you to the place where you're not sweating it out. Where you're not even sweating it at all. Because priests don't sweat. You're not worried about it. I have more confidence in him than I do my circumstances. You know, I went through a couple of these seasons. I had one season of my life where the Lord told me not to work for a year and a half. And he wanted to teach me some things. He taught me a lot. One of the things he taught me was how to be still and to get my soul still. And I think majority of Christians need to get this message down so bad. David said, I quieted my soul in the Psalms. Scripture says in Psalms, it says, be still and know that I am God. You know, you're going through that problem. You're not wanting to be still. You're wanting to run out and make something happen. But God's saying, be still and know that I'm God. You're not God. You can't do this. I hold the whole world up with my words. And you're going to, why don't you trust me? Why don't we trust him? Because we're looking at us. We're looking at our problems. We're not looking at him. If we see him with unveiled face, then we see Jesus the provider. And then once we see him as provider, we're not worried about it because we're convinced in our heart that this is going to come about. It may not come about the way we like it. It may not take the process we want, but I'm relaxed because I know God, my Father, is taking care of it. Went through a season like that. I was learning to be still, learning how to not do anything. That was hard. God wanted me to sit on my couch, and he wasn't even concerned if I was praying or not. He just wanted me to be still and get all my anxious thoughts. What does the scripture say? Take captive those thoughts, right? Take captive every thought unto the obedience of Christ. And so I went through a year and a half of just sitting on my couch and learning how to not be anxious and to slow my soul down, stop being revved up so much. Because you can sit there and you can be still physically, but you're not still in your soul. You know what I mean? God wants to steal in our soul, where our souls steal. See, thoughts are illegal sometimes because they're not managed properly. There's a time and season under heaven. You have to think the right thoughts at the right moment. I used to come home from work and I was in the shower and I'm thinking about everything I had to do the next day on my jobs. Part of it was because I love my work. But the Lord started telling me, I'd be in the shower thinking about tomorrow, washing my hair. And the Lord said, that's illegal, stop it. And I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, you're not in tomorrow. You're right now and you're wasting time. I want you to be thinking about me and you're thinking about tomorrow's problems and how to solve it. And I want you to be focused on me right now. You can deal with that in the morning. And I started having to learn to manage my thoughts. You have to manage them. If you don't, they will run you ragged. And so we have to learn to get our souls still. So that was one of the things I started learning. And, you know, I can feel it when I'm revved up. I still get revved up sometimes, but when I do, I can feel it almost instantly. It's usually, it didn't take more about 5 minutes to realize, oh, I got a high level of anxiety. My thoughts are all over the place. I'm not in rest and peace in my soul. And so I have to, okay. All right, Lord, I'm just giving you all that, Lord. I relax. I'm letting go of trying to do all this stuff and figure out, I'm just, right now, just peace. Well, the reason I can get that down now is because I spent a year and a half learning that. In the midst of having two mortgages, bills that I've never had before, all of a sudden I'm not working because the Lord told me to. Bills are racking up, stressful home life. It was rough. But you know, at the end of that season, I had somebody give me $17,000 and paid off all my debt. God had it all planned out. He knew the day was coming when that guy was going to give me the money. He had prepped it before the foundations of the earth. So all that worry that I was doing was for nothing. It was a waste of time because God had it all fixed, but I spent all my time worrying when I should have been just relaxing and learning how to enjoy God. Stop worrying. Be anxious for nothing. Can you add a single cubit to your life? Didn't somebody famous say that? So here's where the children of Israel are. The Lord tells them to go in and take this land full of giants. And they had heard the spies report, 10 of the spies come back. These are giants. The walls are huge. And what did they say? They said, we were as grasshoppers in their sight. But what it says is that we were, how's it word? We were as grasshoppers. So what are they telling us? Are they them? Are they in their head? Can they see what they look like to these people? So how do they know they were grasshoppers? That's the way they perceive themselves. God tells them to do something, and the first thing they do is they turn inward and they start noticing their own insecurities because they're looking at the self because they're eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And this is the very thing, this doubt and unbelief that came up in their heart that God won't give them the land, even though he just had all the plagues that got him, set them free from Egypt. They come through the Red Sea. He splits. He's doing miracles, forgiving a manna, doing all this stuff. And they're still dealing with this thing. It doesn't matter how much you see God move. You're always going to be tempted to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You have to make a choice every time because it turned their focus on them. And when I start talking about faith, the enemy's going to try to start doing that to us. He's going to start trying to make us feel like we got to strive this out. And we don't understand. That's not what God's asking us to do. He told them to go in and he was going to do something. All they had to do was obey. And this was God trying to take them into their rest, right? So let's take this scripture back up. And so this is verse 19 or verse 18. And to whom he did swear that they should not enter his rest, but of those who were disobedient. And we see that they were not able to enter because of what? Unbelief. So the opposite of faith keeps you out of rest. And you go in. Therefore, chapter 4, let us fear while promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you should seem to have come short of it. For indeed, we have had good news preached to us just as they also, but the word they heard did not profit them because it was not united by faith in those who heard. So when the word come, they didn't believe it. Why? Because they were looking at themselves and they were afraid. And so they didn't believe God's word and they didn't step out in faith, trusting him, seeing him as their deliverer, seeing him as the one that was going to conquer them armies. They thought they had to do it because they were looking at themselves. And that would be terrifying. If we had to do this stuff, it should be terrifying. We should be scared silly. But we don't have to do this. God's going to do it through us. We just have to go and obey and believe. Interesting enough, Pharisees come to Jesus and they say, what's the work that God requires? Jesus said, this is the work. He didn't say there wasn't a work. He said, this is the work that God requires, that you believe on the Son. He didn't say there wasn't a work. This is our work. Strive to enter his rest. Right here. Strive to enter his rest. That's the only place in Scripture God gives us permission to strive, and it's to strive to be at rest and peace. You want to strive about something, that's what you got permission to strive about. Anything outside of that, cut it out. Now, it's easier said than done, but that's the process that we're if we can see it, right? If we can see the land, he'll give it to us. If we can see this as an issue, God can deal with the issue. But if we don't see this in us, then we can't deal with it. So they couldn't enter in because of they didn't unite what they were hearing with faith. For we who have believed enter that rest just as he said. Okay, so when we believe, we enter his rest, right? When we believe, we enter his rest. If we're truly walking in faith, according to this scripture, we should be entering into his rest. If you're not, if what God's asking of you, and I understand all this, I still deal with this, but if God asks you to do something or you're trying to grow in your faith or whatever it is, and you're feeling anxiety and stress over it, that means that you're trusting in your own ability. You're not entering into faith because faith always takes you into rest. And we got it all backwards. We think faith is work. Well, it is a work. It's a work to rest, right? So here's how we get free from this. First thing is you recognize it in yourself. When it's going on, you know, we all have a garden to tend. It's right here. We're the ones responsible for each of our garden. I can't pluck up anxiety and worry out of you. I'm too busy trying to get it out of me. I got my own garden to deal with. You guys got to pluck up the weeds and the thistles and the things that grow up because of the curse. You got to pluck those things out. You got to tend your garden and take captive every thought unto the obedience of Christ. And so the way we deal with this is start to recognize it. And in reality, is faith is the result of seeing him as he is. That really is the theme of today's message. We got to see him better. When we see Jesus the healer, we'll become walking in healing. When we see Jesus the faith man, we'll start walking in faith. The answer is seeing him. When Peter got out of the boat, he walked on water. Why? Because he was looking at Jesus. Read the passage. Check out the passage. He was looking at Jesus. The moment he began to sink, it said that he turned his eyes to the wind and the storm. And immediately when his eyes got off of Jesus, he began to sink. If you're sinking, it's because you got your eyes off of him. And God wants our eyes to be put back on him. Now, I want to look, this is the last scripture I want to look at. It's imperative that we learn how to not allow setting up a goal or a standard to intimidate us like we have to make it happen. We're just wanting to see what Jesus is, what he's saying to do, and then trust that he'll get us there. So you don't have to feel intimidated. If Jesus says to have faith, then that means he's given you the ability to have faith. And it's really not that scary if you'll just trust him. You don't have to make this happen. You just abide in him. Let's look at that. John 15, last verse. This really is the key to life. You do this, it's going to work no matter what you're doing. You don't do this, it ain't going to work no matter what you're doing. I mean, Jesus said, of my own self, I can do nothing. Jesus said that. How much more his disciples? He was dependent upon the Father when he became a man. When he set deity aside, he became dependent upon the Holy Spirit. This whole chapter is good, but for the sake of time, I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to cherry pick a few scriptures. But this whole chapter deals with what I'm talking about. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. It's the same thing he said about himself. Apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. Y'all hear that? You getting dried up? You ever been dried up a little bit? I started noticing myself get dried up. If I can be real with you guys, because I want to be a real pastor, I want you to see the good, bad, and the ugly, because that's real life. It's real. I'm not a superhero. And that a lot of times, I know most of y'all who know me know that, but I'm just saying that a lot of times the pulpit, you know, we start to make superheroes out of people, and we've missed the whole point. Christ in us, the hope of glory, he's in all of us. We're all going through stuff. We're all struggling. I started finding myself in the last few weeks, and I didn't even realize it, that I started carrying a weight of feeling like it depended on me whether or not the glory came. I didn't mean to think that, and I know that's ridiculous, and it sounds ridiculous saying it, but I began to take a weight on that I got to make this happen, because I've seen that God wants it to happen. And so somehow I started feeling like and it was subconscious. It was so subconscious. But when I realized it, what happened was I started knowing from my past experience, hey, you're sweating more. You have more anxiety. You're stressed out. What's your deal? So I started digging the root. Okay, why am I feeling? Oh, that ain't good. So I had to start repenting. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, God. You know what? You're right. I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to carry this weight myself. You know? Lest I abide in him, I'm going to dry up. You start getting dried up, you're not abiding. You abide in him, you're going to bear good fruit. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done for you. Abide in me and let his word abide in you. Let it live there. Let it just live there. If I have a question about anything, I go back to the word. Lord, what does the word say? Lord, where are examples of this in the word? And I eat it up. Let his word abide in you. All right. Just as the Father has loved me. Oh, wait a minute. No, verse 8. By this. So verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. So the way we're going to see these miracles, signs, and wonders, the way we're going to grow at this, there is a faith requirement. There really is. I mean, that's the reality. Jesus honored faith. He was amazed at faith. He was amazed at the centurion's faith. He was amazed at the doubt of his own hometown. Said he could not do many miracles there, but lay his hands on a few sick people because of their unbelief. So unbelief affected Jesus. Corporate doubt can affect even, it can limit God, because they weren't willing to receive Jesus the healer. He was just Maybe Jesus the teacher. They received him on a teaching level, but they wouldn't receive him on a healing level. And so he went about and he started teaching in all their villages, because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. Faith is a reality. It's the currency of the kingdom, but it shouldn't be intimidating. It shouldn't be something we're striving to do. It should be an overflow of a relationship, because the closer I get to him, the more I see him as he is, the more this stuff just happens. Does that make sense? Okay. All right, so Lord, I just ask right now that you would help us to do this. I know this in my head. I even know it partially in my heart. But Lord, there are days that I don't walk in this, and I want to. Every day. Help us, Lord. Give us help. Holy Spirit, fall on us now. And help us to begin to see you as you are. Jesus the healer, Jesus the provider. All the things that you are, help us to see it so that we can receive that reward, Lord. So you can be our reward.
Yes, if I had any word for anybody in here, and I heard a congregational word, I heard that the Lord said that you're talking about rest. He said he's going to make this place a testimony couch, a place where the rest is going to be so sweet that the testimonies from it are going to break things off people. I even saw a couple of couches on stage where you're going to start holding testimony events, and they're going to be seated and in such, almost like eating a sandwich, drinking a Coke, sitting up there talking about the Lord like it's such a different place and a different mindset to be. That's what I saw.
Yeah, Zach, come on.
Okay, so really quick, I feel like, you know, before I go into the word of knowledge, when I was driving over here, it was actually super wild. I'll tell you more about it, but I was hearing Travis's sermon in the car in the spirit. It was really wild. Like, I was actually writing things down during worship while I was hearing, and ended up being his message. And but one of the things that was happening in the car was I was just listening to worship. And how do you know that worship prophesies? It can actually prophesy your day and what God is wanting to do. And so the worship that was playing in the car on my way over here was actually songs of healing and miracles and mountains moving. And I really felt like the Lord was speaking to me in the car this morning, that saying that today is the day of breakthrough, that whatever is in your life today that you need a mountain to be moved, I am telling you now that today is a day for that mountain to be cast into the sea. Today. And so anyway, so I just really felt like, since Travis was just preaching on healing, my God, let's demonstrate this thing. And so I was just really feeling, number one, I just felt like for a word of knowledge, was I felt like there was actually, I feel like it could be a man and you're dealing with stomach issues, and I felt like you cannot eat pancakes. I saw literally just a picture of pancakes and you cannot eat it. Maybe it's something with grain or, you know, like whatever, gluten or something like that. But is there someone here today that's like, has a gluten issue that you just cannot eat? Like if you eat the pancakes, it will mess you up. Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, so is there anyone here today that is dealing with that issue right now? If not, then that's okay. Okay, so there's two of you.
Cause massive cramps.
Leg cramps. Okay, got you. Eating pancakes? It's the wheat. Okay, all right, got you. So
how do you want me to do this? Do you want me to pray for them? Or? Okay. Cool, awesome.
Well, if I can, I'll just give the mic back to Travis. But and also too, I'll just share the rest to Travis later. So anyway, but yeah. So let me just pray for these people. And Travis, here you go.
Yeah. Let's. Is there anybody else? Is anybody else having any kind of physical issues that you need healing with? Okay, stand up.